Hey everyone, it's Caddy. It's Caddy's Cafe. You haven't heard from us since May, and we're back again in mid, well, I guess sort of the beginning of July with Nick, who has been so gracious to do like a check-in and sort of just a little chat with us as things sort of roll into place. Hello, Nicholas. How are you?
Hello, Catherine. I think all considered, I'm just fine. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much for asking. I'm fine. It's very warm in New York. Is it very warm where you are?
Not really. It's a bit sort of gray and muggy and, the sun came out a few times today, but then it seems to have gone for a quick rest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we'll see it again till tomorrow.
It's very warm here. I think I might take my small children to swim. I only say small because I would not swim because I just feel like too much of a pain. Maybe I'll just watch them swim. You know, I don't want to get my hair wet and stuff. You know how it is, Nicholas.
It's good for you swimming, isn't it?
Well, you can't really do laughs when you're watching kids, so. But it is, yes, I like to swim. I'm not that good, but I can stay afloat. I always think that if I fell off a boat, that would be the end of me, because I really couldn't, I could stay afloat like maybe a short amount of time. What about you? If you fell off a boat, do you think you could survive?
Unlikely.
Right. I think of these things.
No, I'm not a very strong swimmer. Of course, I can swim, but I'm not a strong swimmer at all. I don't like being in water where I can't touch the bottom, so I'm really kind of pathetic.
Oh, that's not bad, though. I mean, I think if you could doggy paddle, you can sort of stay alive. If someone was in the area and was going to get, like, a saving device, but, like, if I fell in the water off a boat and nobody was there, I'm pretty well a goner, I think. Anyway.
Well, let's make sure that doesn't happen then, Catherine.
Yes. So, Nicholas, I think one of the reasons we wanted to check in with each other is you might have some exciting news about the upcoming Duran Duran album, DD15.
Well, I wish it were more exciting. I wish I could be saying it's coming out next week and we're going on tour the week after, but it's not quite that. What we have managed to do is move things along a little as restrictions have eased somewhat here in London. I've been able to go into the studio to do some work, and therefore several tracks have gone to be mixed with the great maestro Spike Spent, who mixed our last couple of records. And I'm in the process of finishing a few more tracks. So we've had six or seven mixes back, and there's another couple that will be coming over the next week or two. And I have to say, quietly, rather pleased with where we're at. It's when you make a record over a period of months and you get used to the tracks and you have all kinds of different rough mixes at different stages, you never quite know where it's going to end up and exactly how it's going to sound when you get to the finished piece. But we've watched it all sort of start coming together for the first time with this record. And I think, actually, from everybody's comments and the few times we've spoken, that we're in a good place. So that's been uplifting, given the position that all of us have been in, to actually triumph by getting something completed. And I'm really hoping that one way or another we will be able to finish the remaining tracks during the coming months, so that we're ready to go as soon as as soon as we all feel it makes some sense. And then also, actually, the other good news, which I'm sure some of you out there might have seen already, is that the shows that were scheduled for this summer have pretty much mostly been rescheduled for next summer, some of them already being on sale, others, I believe, coming soon. And of course, we are hoping that everything will be possible by that time and the world will have returned to some kind of normality. But we're just trying to really reorganize everything that we had for this year for next year.
So let me ask you a few questions. Thank you for this excellent update. I know that you really like the studio, maybe more than your bandmates, but is this, like, what is your favorite part of a process of putting a record together? Would this be one of your favorite parts, sort of the mixes and watching it all come together, or is it being in the studio with the other band members and getting a song right for the first time? What, like, sort of really jazzes you the most?
Well, the whole process, because there's nothing I like more, really, than waking up in the morning and going to the studio in the afternoon, and then by the evening knowing that something new exists that wasn't there when I woke up. There's something incredibly exciting to me about creating something new. And I feel the same, actually, about most things in the creative world, whether it's photography or film or making a drawing or a painting, just giving birth to something that didn't exist before. And strangely, knowing that it's likely to last a lot longer than all of us, too.
Right.
I like the thought that we leave some things behind. And for me, it's maybe things I've made for other people. Maybe it's photos they've taken or well, lots of other things. I'm sure things are personal to each one of us. But I like the creation process. But then once you've started making something, the song really is the sketch to me. And the painting is what matters. And that's what we do in the studio when we work on the parts and the architecture of the sound, the sonics of the bass drum and the percussion and what we're going to do with the vocals and the harmonies. And everybody in the band really takes care of their own zone on that behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Although we do certainly help each other and cross over, it's we're quite methodical in a way how we work until we get what each of us want. I actually did a little work yesterday on one of our songs, and I spent hours just carving out frequencies that I thought would work better in the verses of the songs because there's been something troubling me about it. And I left there, the studio, thinking, oh, okay. Now I've got it to a place where I find it much more exciting than before. It wasn't that I wasn't excited by the song, otherwise I wouldn't have worked on it. We all have to be excited by the pieces of music that make it through. But sometimes it's easy and you just do things, you know, instinctively. The first thing you come to works. But other times it's more of a scramble to try and sculpt the thing into the shape that you imagine it can be. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those for me. But I think I've got the better of it. So I enjoy that process too. And then, of course, the mixing is where a song lives or dies. And that's why you want the best possible people to work with for the mixing process. We're perfectly capable of all mixing songs ourselves, but when you've got someone like Spike, who we've worked with on the last few things, he's extraordinary. He brings another view to what you've got and a great energy to the music that you have, and often spots things within it, within the tracks, that perhaps we have overlooked or didn't think should be as prominent. And I love that process too. What I really like most of all is sitting through the mixes. So that's a bit agonizing at the moment, because we are doing that remotely and sort of having to send comments back. And of course we talk or get on a video call. But ideally you want to be in the same room, and I like it when everybody's there, because then we can sign things off much quicker than going through individual comments, which makes the process much more complicated.
How did you first hook up with Spike? Because I've heard that name for ages.
Well, Spike is one of the great mixers out there in the world. There's no question. He's mixed a lot of my favorite records, from things like Massive Attack and some of the Björk records. He's incredibly versatile. He does everything from rock to electronic music to hip hop even, and he's got a very broad view and understands things well. And I knew this from listening to all the records that he's made, mm-hmm. because they all sound just as they should. He first wrote with us on All You Need Is Now with Mark. And that turned out so well that we used him on the next record, on Paper Gods. And now he's doing this one too, which is a real testament to the quality of what he does, because we rarely, as much as we love lots of people we work with, we rarely end up doing three albums in a row with somebody. But we have with Spike, and actually I kind of wish we'd worked with him a little earlier, because he's been working on great records for several decades, and he's very special.
That's very cool. And then, all things being as they are, when do you, like, if you had to hope for when you might put out a single, when do you think that would be?
Deep breaths, Catherine. I would love to say, how about next week? But I think the reality of it is that we have to get through to the autumn and see how things are, because I don't really like just releasing things randomly. It's not my favorite way to go. I like having a bit of a plan and a campaign, and I like to see the album artwork working with the single artwork and the order of what's going to come out, and at least some shows booked to play so that people can have the live experience. And as we really don't know when that's going to be possible, I think we have to wait until at least the autumn. And my guess is that realistically, it'll probably be out more like the first quarter of next year now. I think we'll be ready to go this year. Maybe we could put out a song sometime later in the year. It depends. There's a lot of uplifting songs on this album, particularly the couple that we did with Giorgio Moroder. And I don't know that the winter is the right time to put those out, especially with what we're all going through at the moment, even though any time would be good to lift people's spirits.
Right.
Maybe more dance songs, and if people can't even go out to bars and clubs to dance, then it's sort of I guess they can dance in their living rooms in their enclosed spaces, but I'd like to think that we could put some of the songs out when people will be together again to be able to enjoy the widescreen experience.
So we don't have an answer. You know what's interesting?
I don't have any definitive answers. I don't think many people have definitive answers about anything much at the moment, do they?
Right.
Every time I turn on the news and just look at what's going on and what do we know and how are things are developing, there's so many shades of gray. Gosh, it could have almost been a book and a movie.
Well, a lot of those movies, like what's that big tent pole movie, Tenet, the Christopher Nolan movie. I mean, it was about the buzzed about movie of the summer, and then it was moved because of COVID, and it was a July release, and now it's moved yet
again.
And
the Bond movie.
And
the Bond movie got put back a year or whatever, didn't it? It's impossible for companies, and when they've got big investments in things like that, the franchise, like the Bond movie, you can imagine how many things are reliant upon it. That's not just about putting out a movie and hoping it does okay.
Right.
It's an enormous business with a lot of people involved on many, many, many different levels. So I think we all do have to see how it unfolds, how we can start to perform. We signed a petition or added our names to a petition for support for the British music industry just a few days ago, which I think is essential. We were alongside, I think, virtually every other British artist, because how could any of us not feel that we shouldn't receive some assistance as every other industry has done? If you look at what's happened to live performances, it's at a complete standstill.
Mm-hmm.
And we're way down the queue. You've got things like hairdressers and bars and restaurants opening this weekend here in Britain, but there's no mention of when there might be a live show. And I think we all understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can't expect particularly young, struggling artists to be able to survive without a little help that everybody else seems to have got. And they've really cast aside the arts here in Britain, and I'm very sad to see that.
Yeah.
I think it's an important sector, not just because I work in music at all. I'm talking about all of the arts. It's what lifts our spirits, and we're going to need that when we come out of this very dark period. So I sincerely hope that the British government, who are under a lot of strain from every angle, as we can all see,
mm-hmm.
but I hope they take a realistic view of what has happened to the music industry.
Yeah. There are a few charities, at least in America, and I'm sure, of course, in the UK, that are really trying to raise money for performers that, you know, are not nearly as big as Duran Duran, but who make their living, you know, maybe touring 255 days a year, and they can't do that anymore, and they can't support their family anymore. I feel like the first thing that's going to come back are probably comedians. But it's a different kind of show. And I think that music really needs to, you need to look at that and see what can be done, because I don't know that the average person knows how much it costs for a band, a big band like Duran Duran or Coldplay or U2, to mount a tour. So if you mount a big tour and then can only fill half an arena,
it would be quite impractical for sure,
yeah.
for any artists, and I think it works on every level, really, from, you know, artists that are used to playing in a bar with X amount of people that can only have a third of that amount of people in there. It is somewhat relative. viewer, it's something that we would all like to be able to get back to, but we don't know what is possible, even with a certain amount of social distancing, which is now being brought down to about a meter in the UK. It's still, if you imagine what an arena or a stadium full of people is, then that reduces capacities enormously. And I also think that we all want people to have fun. And if people are too self-conscious and having to wear masks and standing so far apart and having to have temperature tests on the way it is going to affect the experience enormously. Now, whether one can create an experience whereby it's still a lot more fun than not having the experience, I would hope we can, given whatever the circumstances and conditions are. But if things go well and we don't all suffer a really terrible second wave of the virus through the autumn winter period, then I would sincerely hope that next year turns out to be a lot more open and a little closer to what we have all been used to and perhaps will be a lot more grateful for once it comes back.
I hope. I mean, I think and I hope. It's sort of, I mean, I know how many lives have been lost, so I would never, ever, ever trivialize it. And I know I sit in such a good position. But it's hard. It's definitely hard living your life this way. And not that I have any right to complain. I truly don't. But I hope that everybody has a new appreciation for all the types of freedom we have.
I mean, it does certainly put into perspective a lot of things that many of us, certainly including myself, have taken for granted. Just being able to go to a local store carefree and look around and buy what you want and food, or if you want to go to a bookstore and look through what's just been released, those kind of things all being gone has actually really been a shocking part of the experience.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you look at the numbers of people that have suffered and the numbers that have actually died as a direct result of the virus, it's a devastating scale.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's hard to believe we're living through something like this. Anybody who's listening, anybody in the world, it's just hard to believe. It just is hard to believe. So let's end on a higher note, let's say, a more positive note. I heard a rumor that you have a book coming out, and I would love to share that information with everyone listening.
Yeah, well, that's been one of the little lights at the end of the tunnel for me during this period, is that I'd been working on a book since the exhibition I did, goodness knows, about 4 years ago now, I want to say. I could be heading for 5 years, the Bay Inkerby exhibition. And I wanted to do a small book, which I did put together with the vinyl factory who I did the exhibition with. And it took me a while to do it, probably, 6 months or so to put it together. But then for some reason, I guess I went out on tour with the Paper Gods Project, and the vinyl factory moved into a new building, and there were lots of logistical issues with the book. And I sort of lost it in the ether for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, are we ever going to get this book finished or get it out? Because it was all designed rather beautifully by Rory McCartney, who who worked on the All You Need Is Now project with us, actually, who's a fantastic graphic designer and a dear friend of mine. And we were all ready to go, but it didn't seem as though it was happening. It was in a holding pattern. And just before we all closed down for this period from about March, April, whatever it was here, I got a copy of my book to check everything. And I did, and it was in pretty great shape. And so I made a few minor adjustments. And since then, I received a completed copy, which I'm thrilled with. And so the Bay Inca Bay book will actually be released sometime this year. It's pretty much ready to go. We haven't planned an absolute date yet, but I would say it could be over the next 2 to 3 months for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite date would, of course, be Halloween. So we'll see. It'll either be out before then or by then, I hope. It's not a book for everyone. It's a limited edition artist's book, and it's got hand-signed and silkscreen print in there, and a 7-inch vinyl single, which actually has Neffa's vocal debut on it in Latin. And the photos, many of which were in the exhibition. So it's quite a production, but it's very limited, and it won't be out until, I guess, the next month or two. But no doubt, I will let you know in advance.
This is very exciting. You know, I find this to be extremely, extremely exciting. So please do keep
I'm
us.
I'm excited about it too, actually, Catherine.
Yes, you put a lot of work into it, and I know how you are looking forward to sharing it with everybody, or you are looking forward to sharing it with everybody.
Yeah, it's been a real a labor of love for sure, but it's a fun one.
Go, dude. Well, Nicholas, I can't thank you enough for stepping into the cafe today. We've missed you, that's for certain. And it's always a bit special when it's you. I have to say, I'm not choosing favorites, but it's always a bit special. Also, I never have to do any editing when it's you. I just post it as is. But anyway, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for these fabulous updates. I have a feeling I'll be looking on social media, and much of it will be passed along from fan to fan. So thank you.
You are very welcome, Catherine. And it's always good to stay in touch with people, even through these bizarre times.
Very bizarre.
We're all going to come out stronger, sooner or later. We will emerge, and I think in the spirit of Duran Duran, we very much look forward to that, and intend to re-engage with refreshed energy.
Oh, I like that, refreshed energy. Let's do it. So we'll see you in the cafe again soon.
All right, Catherine.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll speak with you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.